Amen. Awesome. So Des and Emily already introduced the theme for us, and it is Sabbath, Shalom, and spiritual rest. And now that's a little bit of a tongue twister, which I didn't realize because I read it first when Kate sent through the idea. I read it and I was like, yeah, alliteration. Love it. All right, awesome. So good. And then when I went to say it the first time, I stuffed it up like Emily did. So it is a little bit hard to say, but please bear with us. All right. Why would we do this thing? What's the purpose? I want to ask you, who always feels drained by Christmas? Who gets to December and is like, I need a break? Okay, four of you. All right, great. You are going to get so much out of this theme. I know that it's more, I know that you're just embarrassed to put up your hand, right? I get to Christmas and I'm like, oh man, I need a break. Oh man, it's time for me to have a week's holidays. Why does it get like that? Is it because you're like me and you don't take annual leave throughout the year and you've got 12 weeks stored up and you don't know what to do with it? Or is it that you're just busy, the Christmas gets busy, you've got to organize the presents, you do one giant Amazon shop and then stuff doesn't arrive and you know, you end up a DFO on Christmas Eve or Westfield, even worse because there's just people everywhere. Is it just the busyness of Christmas and getting everything done? Is it that you didn't take enough rest? Is it that you're not getting enough sleep? Looking at you, Reese. Is it that you don't get enough sleep? Why do we get to the end of the year? It's only a calendar year, like it's only dates. Why do we get to the end of the year and we're wrecked and we need that break? But then January always feels like, yeah, all right, new year, new me. New Year's resolutions, vision boards, whatever that other thing you said was. I'm clearly not hip and cool. See, we get like this. We get like this through a lack of planning our own life, through a lack of looking after ourselves. In 2018, and then again in 2021, and I'm not going to preach it again today because you can just go back and watch the stream. I preached a message called The Tanks, and this is one of my most memorable preaches. The reason it's one of my most memorable preachers is it's the preach that is most often used against me. Now, that means when I'm feeling a bit drained, John will be like, hey, how's your tanks, right? He uses it against me. And so this here was a representation, a diagram of how do we do this for the long haul? How are you going with the things that drain you, and how are you going with your inputs on each of these areas? And that is spiritual, emotional, or emotional and mental, and physical. Now, I think you can probably guess your physical inputs are things like your food, your sleep, your exercise, your, you know, making sure that you're managing your blood sugar levels, all those sorts of things, Reese, right? Your sleep. So your physical outputs are going to be your daily life, the things that you have to do, right? Work, looking after the kids, you know, doing all those things. Changing nappies, whatever. Your emotional outputs, changing nappies. Right? Like your emotional inputs are going to be hobby time. Time to spend with others. Time to spend with, you know, doing the things that you love doing. Your emotional outputs are going to be people. People that you don't like. No. Your family. No, I joke. But your emotional outputs are going to be work and all the things that you have to do, your responsibilities. And your spiritual outputs are going to be your service in church and your prayer for other people. But your spiritual inputs are going to be the time that you spend in the presence, in the word, the time that you spend worshiping. Three forms of rest: physical, sleep, food, hobbies; emotional or mental, that is your peace, your break from the mental load, your time spent with others, hobbies, those sorts of things. And your spiritual, time in God's presence. But the purpose of monitoring these inputs is so that you can be strong. It's so that you can be refreshed. It's so that you can be full and ready to take on what you have to take on. It's not to just have the tanks full and never drain them. It's because the drain, the thing that you want to do, is be purposeful for the kingdom. Be purposeful in your life. And so today I want to tell two stories from the Bible. But firstly, I want to tell you about my most restful time in my entire life. Hey, I want to get you inspired for rest. We took a holiday to Queensland a few years ago, 4 years ago, and we went for 3 weeks with no plans. That's right, 3 weeks, no plans. So what did I do? I watched Lord of the Rings, all of them, including The Hobbit. Watched a ton of movies. The kids just hung around and, you know, played in the creek and we just basically did nothing. And it was super restful. And I, at the time, I was running. I don't know why I was doing that. Team no cardio. I don't know why I was running, but I went for runs and spent time with God. And it was just such a great 3 weeks of rest. No plans, nothing. Who feels like they need one of those today? I just had a week off and I feel like I need one. No. So we're going to look at two times of rest in the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles, open up. It's really close. Genesis chapter 2. It'll be in the first few pages. Just open up. We're going to read verse 1 to 3. A little bit of context here is that Genesis 1 is creation. And God creates in 6 days and he's doing all of the work for creation. And here we see, after that, this is the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. I want to ask a question. Why did God rest? Did he need it? Did God need to rest? Of course not. Why did God rest? See, later in Scripture, we see that this was an example to us. In Exodus chapter 20, when God's giving Moses the Ten Commandments, he says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." See, right here, God telling Moses, you need to rest. Yeah, you need to rest. Why do you need to rest? Because you need to work. See, in the 6 days, you're going to do all of this stuff. You're going to work hard. You're going to work as if it's to the Lord. You're going to do all these wonderful, purposeful things, but you need to rest. On the seventh day, you need to rest. How many of us, by show of hands, get one full day's rest in a week? Three, four people. Now, I don't know how many people are here this morning, but it's much more than four. One, so that is so telling of us and our lifestyle that we're not getting one full day's rest. Now, I was going to caution the extreme here. Like I had written down, caution the extreme. There's some Christians and there's Jewish people today that take this Sabbath to this total extreme where if there's a light switch on and it's on the day before, then it just stays on. You can't turn the light switch off because that's work. Right? But that's total legalism. That's total the other extreme. But it sounds like you guys need a little bit. See, Jesus, he sets the heart right of the Sabbath here in Luke chapter 13. Verse 10 to 17, it's going to be up on the screen for you. It says, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader, that is, a pastor, got upset with Jesus. What a silly duffer. Said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Man, could you imagine? And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. See, Jesus sets the heart right here. Yes, you need rest, but it doesn't mean that you have to do the total legalism thing. It means look after yourself. It means get your heart ready and refreshed. It doesn't mean lock out that day and never do God's work, never do a purposeful thing. It means take the time to be refreshed and rest physically, emotionally, spiritually. We need to plan our rest. We need to schedule in that physical, emotional, and spiritual rest. How many people here in the last month, let's say December, how many people took 2 hours or 3 hours to sit and pray and worship and read their Bible? That's a show of four hands, five hands. See, this is personal experience, but too many of us in Australia or in the Western world, in the Western church, our tanks, the emotional one gets empty, the spiritual one gets empty, and we go and fill up the physical one. We sit in front of the TV, we binge watch 30 episodes of Netflix, Lord of the Rings, whatever, Hobbit. We binge watch all of that stuff and we try and fill up this physical tank, but what's actually drained is the spiritual. What's actually drained is the emotional. Particularly the one that I see neglected all the time is the spiritual. I'm tired, I'm burnt out, I'm broken, I'm hurting. When was the last time you spent time with God? I don't know. Now, I don't mean to shame you from the platform if I've had that conversation with you, because I've had that conversation with a lot of people. So don't feel attacked, please. I've had that conversation with myself. Right? But we get to this point where we're like, yeah, no, I just need a break. I just need to sleep. Well, how's your sleep pattern? Yeah, I sleep 8 hours a night. Well, then you don't need sleep. How's your Bible reading? How's your worship? Oh, I don't know when the last time I spent time with God was. Well, you need to get in the presence. The most neglected tank is the spiritual tank. We need to plan our time of rest. Now, I don't want you to come out of this message and go, that's it. Sundays, I go to church and then I go home and then I sleep and then I binge watch Netflix. And then, no, I don't want you to plan out your Sunday. What I want you to do is schedule in planned rest. Schedule throughout your week times where you're going to get physical rest, times where you're going to get emotional rest, times where you're going to get spiritual rest. I want you to catch the heart of what God was doing when he set up the Sabbath, which is to look after us, to refresh us. That's the first time of rest, God in creation. Here's the second time of rest, and this is a little different. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read the story of Elijah. Now, this is actually after the most famous story of Elijah. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you would have heard the story of Elijah. He's at the altar and the king of Judah at the time is worshipping Baal, is worshipping a false god, led by his horrible wife, and they're doing the wrong thing and they're leading the country in the wrong way. And so it gets to the Elijah is the prophet that is being led by God, and it gets to a challenge point where Elijah says, fine, your God's not real. I know your God's not real and my God is real. And Elijah says, I'll prove it. God's going to bring down a pillar of fire and burn up this altar. But you can try as many times as you want first. And then God will do it for me. And that's exactly what happens. They try heaps of times, the other priests of Baal, and they don't do, and nothing happens. And then Elijah, just to prove a point, pours water all over the altar and then says, okay, God, burn it up. And God burns it up. But immediately following this, Elijah gets scared and runs away. Here's where we pick up the story. It says, now Ahab, that is the king at the time, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. That's the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals. Man, I miss bread. Anyway, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights. Now that's some good bread. Until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is just about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Right here, we see a time where Elijah has gone through something massive in his life. He has emptied that drain out completely. Absolutely completely. Physically, he ran away. Emotionally, he's scared for his life. Spiritually, he's just done a massive, amazing thing with God. He's drained. He has absolutely emptied all three tanks. And he runs to get physical rest. And what does he receive? He receives a spiritual rest. He receives a word from God. You see, God in this moment, the following verses, God sends him in a totally different direction to do a totally different thing. God takes him and changes the direction of his life, sets him back where he's supposed to go and says, now you need to go and do this. Anoint this person king over Israel, go and find Elisha and take him in as your apprentice. And he does all of these totally different things. But this here is a time of extreme rest. Elijah was a mess. He was scared. He was drained. He ran off into the wilderness. How many times, young mums know this for sure, how many times have you gone, I just want to run away into the wilderness. I just want a weekend in Myrtleford, Bright, Healesville, whatever, you know? I just want to run away into the wilderness. God feeds Elijah. I'm sure God wouldn't have fed me bread, but, you know, something else. God feeds Elijah. He sets his mind right. He refreshes him. He gives him strength and he points him in the right direction. And Elijah goes off to continue more of God's good work. He goes from, God, kill me now, because the whole world's trying to kill me and I'm the only one left that actually wants to follow you, to, all right, let's go. I'm back on. We're doing this. See, Elijah would have been taking a Sabbath. We can assume that Elijah was pretty regularly rested. But he goes through a season of drastically high output and is in need of emergency rest. Sometimes we need to take the emergency break to turn on the high flow pump and refresh really quickly. Sometimes you're going to need that. But here, I want to caution extremism. See, sometimes, and again, I don't want you to feel personally attacked, please. Sometimes we neglect ourselves. We fail to take our planned rest, or we fail even to plan rest. And we get so burnt out, so drained, so to the bottom of every tank that we just stop and we quit everything. We get to a point where we go, that's it. I don't know how to do anymore. There's nothing left. Turn off all the drains. See, rest has its purpose. Rest, the point of the input is so that you can output. Now, there are extreme examples where you might have to just hit all stops and, you know, go to hospital, whatever. That's fine. Like, I'm just saying that that's not most of the time. There is extreme times where that is what you need. But it's not most of the time. Most of the time we get there through personal neglect. There are times to quit, but I caution doing it because of a lack of rest. Pastor Craig and Chris retired 2.5 years ago. Roughly, 2.5 years ago. And that wasn't because they didn't look after themselves. It was because it was God saying, okay, it's time to point you in a different direction. You're not going to not output from here. You're still going to be effective. You're still going to do all these great things. You're still going to be productive. You're still going to outwork the purpose of God and do my work just in a different direction. It wasn't, okay, that's it. I'm out. I quit. See, planned and led by God, awesome. Maybe it's time to do something different. But if you need emergency rest, then get it. How many of us today, if you're willing to raise your hand, if not, that's okay. You'll have an opportunity at the end to get some help. But how many of us are spiritually drained? How many would be willing to admit that you're spiritually drained? A few hands. Got the courage? Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, when we partner with Jesus, it's not that we're not going to work. The yoke and the burden are still there, but they're light. It's that Jesus is going to take us into that time of rest. Time in his presence is going to refill us. It's going to refresh us. Our tank's going to be full and then we can take on again. And we do it with him. There's three things that I want you to take away from today. The first is to plan enough rest. To watch your inputs and your outputs and to monitor them regularly and adjust them as they need. Don't neglect your regular time in the presence of God. Roster it in. If I see everybody's phones get out and you set alarms for Wednesday, 4 p.m., whatever the time is, you know, and you're going to get that rest at that time, awesome. Do it. Plan enough rest. The second is to take emergency rest when it's needed. Have a plan ready for when you need emergency rest. Have a plan ready. Whether that's stored up annual leave, whether it's money ready, whether it's, you know, somewhere that you can go off and escape to, a tent that you never, a swag that you never use other than when you have to, you know, like swag that your friend bought for you that, you know, you don't use often enough. Whatever that plan is, have it ready for when you need it. Not for a reason to neglect your regular rest, but that you know that there are going to be times where you have to empty the tank. And the third one is to rest with purpose. The purpose is to be strong, fulfilled, and refreshed. Don't choose physical rest because it's the easy one when you need spiritual rest. Filling the wrong tank will just mean that you're still spiritually worn down and you're still emotionally worn down. And that's not what you want to do. You don't want to sit in that place of spiritual emptiness. I don't. But it's an easy trap to fall in. I just need sleep. Actually, what you need is time in the presence. And so today, we're going to give you an opportunity for that emergency rest. We're going to worship again. And if this is your time, you can come to the front, you can stand up, you can move around the room, you can whatever you need to do. If you need prayer, feel free to come to the front, we'll pray for you. If you just need that time to spend with God, sitting in your chair, do that. But this is going to be your opportunity for that quick break in the week of emergency rest. We need to just spend time in the presence. But it doesn't replace the planned rest. If you don't know God today, and this is all a bit weird what I'm talking about, I want to challenge you in this time when we go into worship to pray, to talk to God and say, God, if you're real, refresh me. God, if you're real, show me. I want to encourage you and challenge you to take on that. From today, after this, I want you to plan your rest so that the emergency is required less often. I want you to plan your rest properly, physical, emotional, and spiritual. God, today, would you refresh us? Would you fill us up? Would you build in us what we need, that fuel? Would you set right the direction again? Point us in the right place. God, so that we could leave here no longer feeling spiritually empty, no longer feeling that we're lacking, but God, that we could leave just refreshed and filled up. And Lord, help me. Help me to plan through my weeks. Help me to plan through the times to make sure that I don't get here again, that I don't get to this emergency place again. God, that I want to be fulfilled all the time and ready and running on full. God, would you help me to plan that out? Help me carve out that time in the calendar and let it be purposeful, time worshiping, time reading my Bible with you. Holy King, why don't you stand today and worship with us in this time? If you need prayer, come to the front, we'll pray for you. Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. For my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield. Look with favor on your anointed one. For better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those who are blameless in his sight." God, we thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, let us be refilled, refreshed. God, let us walk in a new strength. Let us walk with a new purpose in that direction that you point us. God, let us not get to this point again of spiritual emptiness. God, let us continue from this moment forward to be blessed one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. God, let us have that perspective to want to spend time with you, to yearn for that time spent with you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for refilling us. In your mighty, awesome, wonderful name, amen.